reading. Let's all turn to Matthew 13, and let's start at verse 24. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed Holy Sabbath. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you set aside this one period during the week for us to rest from all of our labors and to rest our thoughts from other things and to put our thoughts upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a place to come and worship you and to try to be of help to our brothers and sisters. We ask you to bless these words and the thoughts that we will express and let them achieve that which you would have for each of us. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. Now I'd like to go to my text, and it is verse 30. "Allow both to grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn." This parable is symbolic of the struggles and the tragedies of this life in pursuit of being a part and being accepted into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. This parable also presents a picture of life. It's a picture of our personal life, family life, community life, church life, national life, and even international life. As we think about this parable of the tares, we think about our lives and we realize that within our life and within this parable that Jesus has given for us to see the analogy that he has for us with our life, we realize that one of the things that we're to get from this is that as we think about our life, we realize that we as a whole want perfection. We desire perfection. We want a life that is not like what we are obviously living. We want a life that is free of hassles. We want a life that is free of pain. We want a life that gives us plenty of time, that affords us plenty of income and money to do whatever it is we wish to do. This is the life that we all want. And in essence, each one of us goes about our life thinking of and in pursuit of a quest for that perfect life. We all know we're not going to get it, right? We've lived that long. We know there is no such thing hardly as perfection unless we see it in Jesus Christ or God the Father. But yet still, though, we're born with that inclination to want something that obviously we won't ever have. But we want perfection. We want a perfect marriage. We want a perfect spouse. We want a perfect family and perfect children. We want a perfect church. Is there a perfect church? Is there a perfect church people? Brothers and sisters within the church? Can we see perfection in some of them? Maybe we could say almost some that we've known in the past. Almost. But yet, not perfect. We would like a perfect yard and a perfect garden without weeds. Right? We would like for our grass to be just right and not grow anymore so we don't have to mow it. Right? We want perfection. We want a life of ease. One that relieves us from having to think about a whole lot of things and do a whole lot of things except what we want to do. We're not going to hardly get a yard or a garden with only flowers. We may think of looking for that perfect place, perhaps on a hill overlooking a beautiful lake. The hill covered with beautiful wild flowers. No weeds anywhere. Flowers not too awfully tall to where we could sit down or lay down in them perhaps. The view unobstructed by trees, except down low to where we can see the water over the trees. A beautiful setting, isn't it? And I think of the heaven, God's heaven, when I think of that kind of perfection. That's kind of the perfection that I think of, is when it describes how heaven is going to be, and that river that flows through, and the trees that are planted on both sides of the river, that you can eat that fruit of life. That is the setting of beauty that we know will be perfection. But our perfection that we want will always be fleeting. Secondly, we will have continuing imperfection. We want perfection in all these things, but we will get and we will have continuing imperfection. We know that we have an imperfect church and church people. We have imperfect family, imperfect marriage. Although some would have us to believe otherwise, that they've lived together 40 and 50 and 60 years and have never had a cross word to each other. Have you ever heard people say that? Yeah, I have several times. And it was hard to believe, and it's still hard to believe. But we will have continuing imperfection. That's the way life is. That's the way that it's made. But even though all of this is true, and we won't get a garden or a yard without weeds, and we won't have just flowers on that beautiful hillside overlooking the beautiful lake, we still know that we have to develop grace, we have to develop patience, we have to develop love. And all of this is within our grasp to the degree that we will open up our hearts and lives to let the Holy Spirit work within us to let these things develop. No, it won't ever be perfect. It'll only be perfect when Jesus comes back to this earth and when we go through that transformation like Jesus went through. We will have that same kind of body that Jesus had, that same that He went through from flesh and blood to spirit. We will have a spiritual body just like Jesus. And things will not be perfect until that point in time. In the parable of the tares, and that's the name of my message this morning, the parable of the tares. Jesus was giving this parable just so that we could relate to it. And getting the point that Jesus did not put us here on this earth to live just a carefree life of having only the good and never the bad, separating us from the bad so that we could live that life that we might would think we would love to have. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus put us here among the tares. We can look upon ourselves as the good wheat when we come to the Lord. We are the seed that became the good wheat. But He put us here among tares. And in my Bible, it describes tares as, and it uses the word darnel. It is a weed. Tares is a weed, and we all probably realized that and thought of that in the past when we heard the word tares. But what we may not have realized or thought of is that tares is a weed that resembles a wheat. It resembles wheat. So we are put here among others just like us, but they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have not entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ. They've not accepted the Father God as their Father. Did you know that appearances are very deceiving? Outward appearances are very deceiving. The tares are very similar to the wheat. They appear as wheat when they first come up, but then you know it comes a point in which the seed bears fruit. And the seed that is planted as wheat is separated from the tares very easily when the growth period is over and the seed comes forth. And as our scripture let us know, the master then has the reapers go out among the tares and the wheat and separates it at the right time. At the time of harvest, the master will have his reapers go out and separate the two, and then the tares then will be bound together, brought together, put together, and burned together. Did you see the analogy of God's people living amongst people that is not His? Do you know that tares can also be thought of as anything or anyone that would seek to separate you from God? We're here together, the good and the bad, the holy and unholy, even though we don't really consider or look at ourselves as holy. The analogy is there. you are God's people and within His family and a child of God, or you're not. And if you're not, you're one of those tares. And there will come a point of separation. There will come a point of departure. And the Master will send the reapers to do that. Appearances are deceiving. Even within mainstream Christianity. But we have that scripture that lets us know that even though there's much within mainstream Christianity, there will come that point of judgment. And there will be those tares that will say to God at the judgment time, Lord, have I not cast out devils in Your name? And did all of these wonderful works in Your name? And Jesus will say to them, tares, depart from Me. I never knew you. Appearances are deceiving. Substitutes for the real are readily available, and they're presented almost irresistible. We should all know at this point in our life that there are substitutes for the real thing out there. The pasture is always greener on the other side of the fence. Right? And that's what Satan and his demons would have us to do, is to get our eyes on the wrong things, our thoughts on the wrong things, to separate us from God. That's Satan's and his demons' job. That's what they want. To seek and destroy, to separate, to deceive. And they have their tares out there amongst us. And they're very like us. And appearances, one would not be able to separate the two, the tares from the wheat. But there will be the separation time. Let's go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. And starting with the first verse. Brethren, even if one is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. The tares are among us. They love company. They appear good. They are deceptive. They are a substitute for what God would really have us to accept, to be with, to have company with, to speak with. But God wants us sometimes to get the tares out of our life. There's a time to let the two grow together, and that's the eternal plan. That's the master plan. But within our each personal life, there are times to separate ourselves from what we know to be tares. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. for each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Eternal life is what's going to be for us after the reaping, after the separation of the tares from the wheat, of the true church of Jesus Christ from the pretenders. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. You know, we need to pay a lot more attention to the words if. Because people want us to take certain things as being sure things. Once it's happened, it's done, it's over, that's it, it's settled. Won't be no reversing. Let us not lose heart in good doing, for in due time we will reap. And I would say that means we will be acceptable if we do not grow weary, meaning that we turn back, we give up, we lose heart. But we need to stay rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. In verse 10, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Especially, and I love this verse, and it don't occur very many places in the Bible, you know it? And then when some verses occur, and you've never heard anything like that before, and it seems really good and appropriate, it stands out to you, and you really put some thought to it. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are the household of faith. What can that mean other than let us do good to our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and particularly our brothers and sisters within our own church? Let us not grow weary in doing good, in our growth in Jesus, reading the Scriptures, gaining the truth and knowledge, and letting the Holy Spirit dwell within us to where our lives can be changed each day. We can grow closer and closer to God. We can become more and more helpful to Him in carrying out His work, and helpful to our brothers and sisters. You shall know the tree by the fruit that it bears. Right? When the tares are sown by the enemy in our gardens and our fields, it may be a period of time that we don't realize it, but it will come a time in which the tree will be known by its fruit. The wheat will be very well known and separated from the tares. Our fruit in our life, what we bear to the Heavenly Father in trying to be like what He would have us to be, trying to be helpful to others, trying to go in all the world and spread the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom to come, and of the Father wanting you to be a child of His in the kingdom of God, wanting you to be God's children. The last judgment, that time of the reaping, at harvest time, in which the tares are going to be separated from the wheat. The last judgment is going to be full of surprises. You know? It's going to be that time in which the verse is going to come to pass. That says those will seek to hide from God by crawling under anything they can crawl under, thinking that it's going to shield them from the eyes of God. Looking to get under stones. They're going to be saying, Lord, Lord, have I not cast out demons in your name? And did all kind of other good things? That's going to be that time. But the last judgment is going to have big surprises, especially to people like that, that think that they did plenty enough to be found worthy to be acceptable into God's family. Did you know that God is more merciful than we would ever be ourselves, and that we would ever think that He is? God is more merciful than we are, and that we would think that He would be. But also, God is more strict than we would ever be, and that we would think, some of us, that He would be. He's also more knowing. He reads the thoughts of our mind, the intents of our heart. He knows us beyond anything, anyone else. Even ourself, He knows us. We need to get from this that we're put in this life to grow among the tares. We're put in this life with others appearing just like us, going to church just like us, having their own doctrines and beliefs just like us. We're to be among the world and among the tares, but we're not to be like the tares. Tares are weeds with the resemblances of the true thing. There's going to come a time in which the Master is going to separate the two. And then we're going to be glad that we sought God and tried to seek the truth and abide in the truth and try to tell and lead others in that way. If you would, stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this service this morning. We ask that You will be with the ones that's not here. Heavenly Father, bless them today. Give them good rest and peace and joy. Heavenly Father, we ask that You will protect them on their way back home. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these words that we brought. We thank You for Your parables. We thank You for the visions that we're able to learn from in the Bible and all of the words of truth and life. Heavenly Father, go with each of us. We ask that You will bring into Your family those that we love and want to see a part of it. And in Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.